You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Well, listen, I have got a bone to pick with you. You're in trouble this morning, church. If you're watching online, you should be thankful that you're not in this auditorium because we're about to turn up the heat. Because I am irritated, I am annoyed, and I am about to vent my anger on you. I was born on the 24th of January, 1972. The story goes, so my dad told me, that when I was born, they were expecting a girl. Obviously, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. And they didn't have a boy's name, they had a girl's name. And so I don't really look like a Jasmine or a Karis. And so the nurse said, what are you gonna call your son? They said, we haven't got a name. And back in those days, you had to name your children a lot quicker than what you do in these days and age, these days and ages, in this day and age that we live in. Mum and Dad didn't have a name for me, so the nurse said, why do you call him Glenn? And Mum and Dad said, that'll do. My name is G-L-Y-N. I think it's coming up on screen. There it is, look, G-L, if any of you watching online right now type pastor anything else, that's my name. Now, I understand it's a funky name. I get it. Glyn is Welsh. My name only makes sense in one country of the world. That's Wales. I'm actually named after the great hero of Wales, Owain Glyndŵr. In fact, when I go to Wales, my family don't call me Glyn, they call me Glyndŵr. You add a D, a W, and an R on the end. That is the full name, but my birth certificate says Glyn, G-L-Y-N. I want you to know today that my name is not Glenn. You're annoying the living daylights out of me. I am not Glenn. In my head, that's what Glens look like. When you call me Pastor Glenn online or you come up to me and call me Glenn, that is what my mind goes to straight away. In America, every time I'm in America, and if you're an American, I love you. If you're watching this in America, God bless you. If this gets on the Faithful app to be broadcast this week and you're American, I love you. But my name is Glenn. It's not Glenn. I stand in conferences in American churches. Hey, everyone, my name's Pastor Glenn. I get everyone to say Glenn. They repeat it after me, Glenn, Glenn. And afterwards, the pastor will come up and say, well, Pastor Glenn. And that's what I think every time. I need to let you know that my name is not Gled. I mean, I'm amazed at all these derivatives that keep coming up. Pastor Gled is what I've been called on several occasions in online campus. That is not who I am. I have also been called Pastor Glein. What are you doing? Look, that guy's definitely a barista and definitely a vegan. And I will never be a vegan. It's never happening. The doctor says you can eat meat for another 2 weeks and die or be a vegan and live to be an old man. I'll start saying my goodbyes, baby. That is not my name. It's not my name. It's not my name. On online church, you have also called me pastor. Put it up here, please, for everyone to see. Glum. Hedge fund manager and Chelsea fan. That is not who I am. The worst of all was when one day my wife on Audacious Church platform said, I'm handing the microphone back to my husband, Dave. Now, how long have you been in our church? If you keep calling my name wrong, every time I look at it, I'm like, that's mistaken identity. In fact, I've got to let you know, someone got my wife back, right? After the past, me calling me Dave. We were backstage after church and somebody had come back to visit us. And we were chatting with him and then he brought his wife in and we'd never met the wife before. They had a newborn baby daughter and my wife was in the room. I'm chatting with the man. I say hello to the wife. I say, oh, what's your baby called? And she said, oh, the baby's called... Let's call her Sarah. Said, oh, that's beautiful. And then she said this. The wife had not yet met Soph and said, yeah, my husband really wanted to call our baby daughter Sophia, but I hate that name. I've never met a nice Sophia. I've never met anybody who's Sophie, who's nice and gentle and kind. I just hate that name, Sophia. At which point I went, hey, this is my wife, Sophia. Today, I am going to speak to you on the subject of the case of mistaken identity. You ever been in a situation where someone has mistaken you for someone or something based on assumptions made about you because of the way you dress or your background or because of where you're from? They jump to conclusions about you. It's the case of mistaken identity. And that's what the end of Galatians chapter 3 and the start of chapter 4 deals with today. And I want to read this to you. In fact, all across this auditorium, why don't we stand for the reading of the Word of God? You can stand at home as well if you are watching. Here we go, Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God. Ladies, don't freak out. I'm going to explain that. Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are also Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We looked at the promises of Abraham for us last week. Jump into chapter 4. It says this, what I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different to a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardian and trustees until the time set by the father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the time set had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba Father, Daddy God. So you are no longer a slave. You are no longer a slave, but you are God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. The case of mistaken identity. Grab a seat around this place. I deliberately read the passage there that says that you and I, you are sons of God. Now, that doesn't preclude the ladies. There are many modern translations that translate the phrase sons of God as children of God. And the reason they did that was because some years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago or so, there was a group of people who, in reading a passage like this, were offended because they weren't sons, they were daughters, and they could not relate to what Paul was saying. So in order to help people understand things, translations started to be changed from being sons to being children. But church, it's really, really important in reading this that we understand what's taking place when Paul writes that we are, regardless of gender, we are sons of God. It's impossible to read the Bible without understanding the context. If we simply read the Bible through the lens of 2021, we will not be reading the Bible as it was intended to be read and applied to our lives. So Paul says that you and I, we are sons of God. Let's go back 2,000 years ago, Galatia, in the Roman Empire, there was a law in Rome called Lex Falcidia. And Lex Falcidia was a law that said property, inheritance, could only go to the sons. Only the sons in a Roman Empire household could inherit land, all the property, all the wealth, all the title, and everything that went around with it. And what Paul is saying when he's speaking to us and he's saying, you are sons of God, he is saying now, regardless of who you are, whatever gender, whatever your background, whether you are slave or free, Jew or Greek, whoever you are and whatever your background, whatever your education, he's saying this, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you now inherit everything that God has for you. So that's why he's calling us a son, because now we have the rights of sonship from the Roman Empire. Everything that is in God is in us. Everything that's in the kingdom of God now belongs to us, wherever we're from and whatever our background. And here's how he defines it. He says this, he says in verse 27, he says, for as many of you as were baptized with Christ, you have, watch this, you ready? You have put on Christ. Another translation says, you have clothed yourself with Christ. So now that you have clothed yourself in Christ, it means that our identity is not what it was previously determined as. Society defined you as a man, as a woman, as European, as African, as Australasian, as Asian, as some gender or sexual orientation. Society says these things, but the Bible says, no, you have to understand that the way I was assigned before and where I got my identity before is now different, because now I am clothed with Christ. So everything's different. I love how Tim Keller says this. Tim Keller says this about it. He says that when you are clothed, your clothing represents identity. In other words, you're able to tell from what someone is wearing what they do, what their identity is. You can tell a fireman by their clothing. You can tell a footballer by their clothing. You can tell the scuba diver by their clothing. You can tell our amazing frontline NHS workers by their clothing. Your clothing speaks of your identity. In other words, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, something about your lifestyle now should determine that when people come in contact with you, they know who you are and they know what you represent, because now you're clothed with Christ. Over here, I could swear and cuss like a demon, but now that I'm clothed with Christ, now it's different. Over here, I could be negative and I can jump on social media and I can call Boris Johnson names and I can do whatever I want. But now over here, I'm clothed with Christ. It's a different way of interacting with social media. Over here, I can hold grudges and I can live how I want to live. But now over here, I'm clothed with Christ. And that means that everything is absolutely different. Clothed with Christ speaks about identity. Second thing clothed with Christ represents is it means closeness to Christ. Because let's face it, the closest thing to my body right now is the clothes I'm wearing. And how many of you are very happy right now that I am wearing them? Closeness. In John chapter 14, verse 20, it says this, on that day, Jesus speaking, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Closeness with Christ. The third thing it means to be clothed with Christ, as we're trying to get our identity right, is it means to imitate Christ, or the imitation of Christ. So now we're thinking, we're living, we're acting, we're talking, we're walking like Jesus did. Back in the late 90s and early noughties, there was that huge craze. Do you remember? WWJD. What would Jesus do? And what a brilliant thing that was for that particular generation, Justin's and my youth generation. I know you're younger than me, Justin, but bear with me. That we're wearing what would Jesus do as a physical, in a sense, signature to others. So they'd say, well, what's that? Well, it stands for what would Jesus do? All of a sudden, that when we're up against it and the pressure's on and we're feeling like we're going to stumble, now we're kind of conscious of the fact that what would Jesus do? I need to imitate him. And the fourth thing it means to be clothed with Christ is it means to be accepted by God. And do you remember this in the story of the prodigal son, the son who ran away and squandered his father's wealth, and the son literally lost the money, lost everything, and thought to himself, I will go back to my father's house and I'll hire myself out like any servant would do. And yet when the father saw the prodigal son coming, the first thing he did, the son fell to his knees, said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm not worthy to be your son. I can only be a servant. Take me on as a hired hand. And the first thing Dad said is this. He says, quick, get the robe and clothe him so that everybody knows that this is my son who has returned to me. It's accepted. Now get this, guys, all right? Get this. This is so powerful and so beautiful all at the same time. Imagine you are living in the middle of Turkey, Galatia, 2,000 years ago. You are a low-born slave, non-Jew, and you are a woman. You are at the bottom of the pile, folks, when it comes to rights, inheritance, or anything. And Paul writes to you. And this one particular day that you are in church, and the letter comes from the Apostle Paul. And you're in church because there's still the stigma of your low-born status there, a little bit. The fact that you're not Jew, a little bit. The fact that you're a woman, a little bit. A little bit of all that stigma is still attached to these people, this new church, which is why Paul is writing the whole book of Galatians, says, forget your old ways, everything's new. And there you are, sitting at the back of church, because that's where you've always sat. That's where you're assigned, on the periphery of community. Slave. Lowborn, Gentile, woman. And Paul writes, you are all sons of God. I think at that moment, lots of interruptions would have broken out. Wait, what? Because they weren't getting caught up now in the gender identity, whether you're not a female or a male, everybody understood what this meant in this moment. You are now sons of God. The low-born slave, Gentile, woman, all of a sudden, friends, you begin to realize in a new light that the haters of the Bible and the haters of the church who use verses like this to say that the Bible is about the oppression of women and the underclass are reading the whole thing totally wrong. We're reading it through a 2021 lens and we're completely misunderstanding the context. Friend, I want you to know that in Galatia, on that particular church day, I want you to know that at some point during the reading, at some point, some form of praise and worship and something broke out as all of a sudden, people are beginning to realize how revolutionary this gospel is. And when you go back over the verses that we've just read this morning, Paul is saying there's no nationalistic divide, Jew or Greek, African, Asian, European, American, Australasian. That doesn't exist. There's none. He says there's no class divide, slave nor free. Now, come on, let's face it. In this place, in this country, we do have working, middle and upper class, don't we? That's probably the main segregation that takes place in this country across Great Britain. He's also saying, thirdly, there's no gender divide. There's no male nor female. Because I want to say this again, that before you are anything, you are one in Christ. And so what about our differences then? What about the different roles we play? The different pay scales that we find ourselves on? What about the different amounts of melanin in our skin, which some people call colour, but it's melanin? What about our different accents? What about the fact that some of us have fine hair? Recently, I went to my barber's and my Sicilian barber, he said, "You have the hair of a baby." Fine. Or whether you got thick, coarse hair, straight hair, curly hair, red hair, blonde hair, grey hair, black hair, our customs, our languages. What about our differences? Well, that's easy. The gospel addresses that so easy because, friend, once you know who you are in Christ, now our differences become causes of celebration and not division. Come on, that's much more profound than what we realize. Our difference is a matter of celebration. So whoever we are, whatever our background, friend, I would hate for us in a season where everybody is nervous about what we can say and can't say, what we can celebrate and can't celebrate. The Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, is that in the faith community, we know who we are. We are one in Christ, and now our differences, they become a party zone. That gives you and I the right. That gives you the chance to look at me and say, "What are you wearing today, Pastor Glenn?" That gives me the right to say to you, "I love your clothes, I love your accent, I love your language," because now we're celebrating the difference. Praise God. If you're African, wear African dress. If you're a Liverpool Scally coming to church, wear your Scally clothes. Wear who you are. Let's celebrate who we are. Let's celebrate our differences because the thing that unites us is far bigger than anything that society would try to say separates us. And friends, that's why I think that in our church, we have 90 different nationalities because you get that. You understand, actually, this is all about who we are in Christ. I got to finish. Let me finish with this. Romans, a Roman citizen, right? If he had no male heir, what the Roman citizen would do is a Roman citizen could choose a Gentile, low-born slave of any nationality and any description. And because the Roman had no male-born heir, then by choosing any slave, he now could adopt that slave and that slave could become his son. So everything that belongs to the master now belongs to the slave. Sorry, the son. The slave now has all the rights of sonship because the slave has been adopted as the son, and now everybody in society has got to treat that slave differently because that slave who was a slave is no longer a slave. The slave is now a son. Oh, this is remarkable. Hey, the slave didn't earn it. He never could. But the Father just bestowed it. You couldn't earn salvation. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. You never could. It's just a gift that the Father gives to us. So you are now not who you were. I'm clothed with Christ. Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 4:7, you are no longer a slave, but you are God's child. You are no longer a slave to the identity associations that the world gave you. You are no longer a slave to your old ways. You are no longer a slave to your past, but you are God's child. And since you are His child, God has also made you His heir. You didn't deserve it, and yet He gave it to you anyway. Jesus took our punishment that we deserved, and He gave us the blessing that rightly belonged to Him. So mistaken identity, it happens all the time. Happens all the time. But you got to know, with me, not anymore. Because whatever you call me, online campus, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. So whoever you call me, whatever you say, whoever society tries to pull us apart and have a go at us and categorize you as something very different to someone else in the life of our church, what should our response be? Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. And now, may grace and peace be to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bishop Glenn Farrett. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.